You look at a farmer's hands, and what do you see? You see a lot of calluses, for sure, but almost always you're going to see plenty of scars too, right? Same is true for a machinist, any man who does hard labor with his hands. You're going to find scars there. Sometimes you'll find worse than that. Maybe you'll find a digit missing. That's not too uncommon in Roseau County. You talk to the men, sometimes they'll tell you, they'll witness, yeah, that scar, I got a little careless for a minute, maybe I looked away, or maybe it wasn't a matter of carelessness, maybe some piece of machinery failed. Or sometimes it's just like the ice and the weather. We live in a fallen world. But the man keeps working. Scars that we bear, especially the scars on a working man's hands, they're a testimony of a life of work and labor for a noble cause. A man works to raise a family and to provide for his loved ones, provide for his church, provide for his community. Honest labor. But there are other scars too that men bear. In the days of chivalry, saber scars were considered admirable badges of honor because they showed that a man was willing to fight for a good cause. And it's still true today. We have to respect those men and women who have returned from war in Europe, in the Pacific, in Vietnam, Iraq, and Afghanistan, carrying the scars of battle. Some of the scars are physical, some of them are emotional. Either way, they testify to the honor and courage and commitment to our country and what it stands for. Our text this morning from Isaiah speaks about the church and how sometimes people in the church feel that God has forgotten them. Have you ever felt that God has forgotten you? I think most of us have at one time or another, probably when we're facing tremendous adversity. The devil would like to make us think that God has forgotten us. But God is carrying the scars on his body for you. The scars on Jesus' hands are for you. The text from Isaiah 49, verse 16 reads, "But Zion, or the church, said, 'The Lord has forsaken me, and my Lord has forgotten me.'" And God responds in verse 16. He says, "Yet I will not forget you. See, I have inscribed you on the palms of my hands." When the disciple Thomas heard that Jesus had been raised from the dead, he said, "I will not believe it until I can touch those nail holes in his hand." And so then Jesus showed himself to Thomas and he said, "See, touch the scars on my palms." And Thomas responded, in John 20:28, Thomas responds, "My Lord, my God." And Jesus said, "Blessed are those who believe and yet have not seen these scars." Have you ever thought that one day you will see the scars on Jesus' hands? And whether you are saved or whether you are in rebellion, when you see those scars, you know that those scars are for you. I want to turn to the text in Thessalonians, 1 Thessalonians 4:13 through 18, because this text testifies about God's faithfulness and his promise that he will return and each one of us will see him again. 1 Thessalonians 4, beginning at verse 13, the Bible says, I do not want you to be ignorant or unknowing, brethren, concerning those who have died, lest you sorrow as others who have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so God will bring with him those who sleep in Jesus. For this we say to you by the word of the Lord, that we who are alive and remain until the coming of the Lord will by no means precede those who are asleep. For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout and with the voice of an archangel and with the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. And then we who are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and thus we shall always be with the Lord. Therefore, comfort one another with these words. This text from 1 Thessalonians 4 is one of the most important texts in the church because it's used so often to bring comfort to those who have lost loved ones. But it's also important because it confirms to the church and to each one of us again that God is not done with mankind on earth. God is coming again. I was listening to the radio this past week and I heard an interview between Richard Dawkins, the famous author of the book God Delusion, probably one of the world's great or most famous atheists of our day. And I was hearing the arrogance in his voice, but I've heard lesser atheists as well ridicule believers. And when I hear that arrogance and that unbelief, I remember these words from the Bible, from 1 Thessalonians 4, where God says he is coming again. The Bible tells us in these verses that there are only two kinds of people in the world: those who have hope and those who do not. And the Bible tells us in this text that hope is only found by living in Christ. And this text reminds us that you will see the hands of Christ. There are only two kinds of people in this world. Listen to verse 13. The Bible says, I do not want you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning those who have died, lest you sorrow as others who have no hope. It's a sad but true fact about marriage, and that is that one spouse is going to outlive the other, almost in every case. Every married couple must deal eventually with this truth. I've lived through this truth myself, and I have the scars of that experience. We do live in a fallen world, and death has come into the world through man's sin, and with it comes this sorrow. Another great sorrow is to lose children. We suffer the loss of our loved ones in this world. We miss them. Our heart longs for them. But God brings us this hope that when you've lost your loved one who is in Christ, you may know that they are not gone forever, that in fact their soul and spirit lives on and that they are in the arms of Christ. You may know that they are safe. But for many, there is no hope. For those who have denied Christ, for those who do not know God and do not accept the sacrifice that Jesus made for them on the cross, at best, for them, they're left with nothing. a loved one gone, no hope. But of course, the reality is far worse. The reality is, and the Bible says, that those without Christ are aliens from the kingdom of heaven, strangers from the covenant of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. Ephesians 2:12. The commonwealth of Israel is the kingdom of heaven, and the covenant of promise is eternal life through faith in Jesus Christ. Those without God in the world have no hope. Not for comfort here in this life, no hope for pardon from punishment in the next. These verses tell us that hope is found only by living in Christ. Verses 14 and 15 say, "For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so God will bring with him those who sleep in Jesus. For this we say to you by the word of the Lord, that we who are alive and remain until the coming of the Lord will by no means precede those who are asleep." In the fashion of his day, Paul uses grammar in a rhetorical way here. He says, "For if we believe," and as he's writing to the church, the answer is yes, we do believe that Jesus died and rose again. And he says, "Even as you believe this, therefore know this, God will bring with him those who sleep in Jesus." Well, what is this sleeping? You know, there are some denominations, some false teaching that when you die, you go into the grave and that's it. It's just like you're sleeping. But that's not what the Bible says. We know from Luke 23:43, the repentant thief on the cross went to paradise that day with Jesus. We know from Acts 7:59 that Stephen committed his spirit to Jesus as he was being stoned to death. We know from Philippians 1:23, Paul says that to die is to be with Christ, which is far better. Yes, when the believer dies, his or her soul goes to heaven. But it's the body that is left behind. It's the body that is of no more use. It's the body that rests in the grave. And the rest of the body is absolute and complete, so that even when the body turns to dust, it matters not. You know, you think about it, up until only this past century where people preserved so well in hermetically sealed coffins, you know, most of our grandparents and great-grandparents went into a pine box. Most of Christianity has turned to dust. But that doesn't matter, because it's not that old worldly body that's going to be resurrected. The Bible says that when Jesus comes again, we will receive new, perfect, glorious, eternal resurrection bodies. 1 Corinthians 15:52 says, "In a moment, in a twinkling of an eye, those who have died in Christ will receive their new resurrection body, and then those who remain alive in Christ will be taken up with him in the air when he comes." This is the sure hope of those who are in Christ. But this hope is only for those who are in Christ. So we better know what it means to be in Christ. Are you living in Christ? Jesus said, "If anyone loves me, he will keep my word." He said that twice in John chapter 14. 1 John 1:5 says, "Whoever keeps Jesus' word, by this we know that we are in him. He who says, 'I know him,' but does not keep his commandments is a liar, and the truth is not in him." Dear friends, this is what it means to live in Jesus, and that is to keep his commandments. Now, we've talked about this many times, this word keep. It doesn't mean perfection. It doesn't mean we'll live perfect lives. It means we will keep God's word in our heart. It means that we have a desire to live the way God calls us to live. We will keep in our hearts the promises that our sins are forgiven through Jesus Christ. But many in the church say they are trusting in Jesus as their Savior, but they don't have hearts of repentance. God's holy word, His Holy Spirit works in our lives, the lives of believers. He creates new spiritual life. He pours out through His word, His means of grace, and the sacraments, strength to love and to keep His word. So we have this free gift from God, grace to live in Christ. But then we must ask the question, why is there so much evidence in the church of people turning away from Jesus' commandments? Jesus says that we are to walk in the Spirit and not in the flesh. Why are there so many in the church who are walking in the flesh? Jesus says that we are to love one another and to forgive one another and to bear with one another and to encourage one another. But often we hear backbiting, bitterness, arguing, and gossip. Where do these things come from? They come from our old nature working unrestrained, our old nature unleashed by those who do not love Christ, and nor are they keeping His commandments. They say they know Christ, but the truth is not in them. The Bible says there are only two kinds of people in the world, those in Christ with the sure hope of resurrection and those who are not in Christ without hope. But we know this, whether one or the other, everyone will see the hands of Christ. Verses 16 and 17, for the Lord Himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of an archangel, and with the trumpet of God, and the dead will rise first. Then we who are alive and remain in Christ shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and thus we shall always be with the Lord. Therefore, comfort one another with these words. Dear friends, these scriptures are given to us to comfort the grieving and to encourage those struggling in the fallen world we live in. And the promise is this: God has not forgotten you. You are inscribed in the palms of His hands. And just as the scars that we carry remind us of pain and suffering that we've experienced in our life, so also the nail marks on the hands of God remind Him always of you. They're not a reminder of what you've done. They're a reminder of what He's done for you. The nail marks are with God always, testifying of His great mercy, testifying of His grace and His love for you, testifying that He died for you so that your sins are forgiven and washed away. The nail marks on Jesus' hands are noble scars and honorable testimonies of His great love for you and His sacrifice for you. And each one, whether believer or unbeliever, will see those scars and those hands again. If you are in Christ, you will see those loving hands of your Savior as He raises you up with Him into eternity. For those who are not in Christ, for those who do not love Christ, for those who do not want to keep His commandments, for those who are not in Christ, yes, they too will see those nail-scarred hands, and they will learn of the justice of God that requires punishment for rebellion and disobedience. And so you see that in your life, your hope is all about Jesus Christ. Everything else must come after living in Jesus. Everything else must come after living in Jesus. His word must be first in your life and his church. Well, the true church is the body of Christ. The true church is the congregation of those who are living in Christ. And God calls you, each one, to live in Christ. God calls you to live in the church. And God calls you to live in the only true hope. By the grace of God, Christ Jesus, our Lord and Savior. Amen.